Hi guys, welcome back to We Should Talk, a pop culture interview series from In The Know. I'm your host, Gibson Johns, and today on the podcast we have Paige Lorenz, who is a wildly successful and popular content creator, who is also the founder of the clothing and lifestyle brand Dairy Boy. Dairy Boy recently had a pop-up in downtown New York City at the end of the summer. Over 2,000 people showed up. It was hugely successful. I stopped by before everything sold out, and it was just awesome to see, and definitely a testament to an influencer and somebody who lives a lot of their professional life online, a testament to them doing things in person and really meeting their fans where they are and sort of the payoff that comes from that. And so after meeting Paige at that event, you know, she was so lovely, so friendly, so welcoming. I really wanted to do an interview with her and just hear more about the platform that she's built for herself, the brand that she's building. And she's just such a great person to talk to, and she knows exactly what she's doing, and she's really doing her own thing. You know, you see a lot of influencers doing the same kind of stuff, living the same kind of lifestyle in New York City and other big metropolitan areas. But Paige recently, I mean, she moved to the suburbs, she took herself out of that city life, and she's really kind of sharing her life in a way that's really authentic to her and not sort of giving into any sort of pressure to live life a certain way. And I just loved hearing about that. She dates the professional tennis player Tommy Paul. So it was awesome to hear about sort of what that life is like, because tennis players are, I mean, they travel the world the entire year. Their season lasts basically the entire calendar year. So to hear about that was really interesting. And I just loved chatting with her and hearing about Dairy Boy, hearing about her outlook on being an influencer and wanting to hang up her hat at a certain point in the future after building this brand. And I don't know, it was a great conversation. So keep listening for my interview with Paige Lorenz. Check out Dairy Boy, and please rate, review, and subscribe to We Should Talk on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. All right, so we are here with Paige Lorenz, who is coming off a highly successful Dairy Boy pop-up, which was in downtown New York City. It's her lifestyle and clothing brand. Over 2,000 people showed up. I was fortunate enough to check it out before the onslaught of fans came by. Paige, how are you doing? Are you still riding on a high from that pop-up?
Yeah, I'm really good. It definitely has taken a few weeks to kind of sink in at just the amount of support and the turnout. But I'm just really grateful. I've definitely, like, it slowed down a little bit. The team is kind of, I don't know, it was a really crazy week. Even after the pop-up, just like cleaning up and just like reviewing everything. But yeah, I'm just really grateful. I think it was really cool because social media is just sometimes numbers, you know, followers and likes, and it just doesn't always feel like a human interaction and experience. And that was really valuable to me, just to meet my supporters, and they really all feel like friends to me. So having that in-person experience is something that I think people in my industry don't get a lot. So I'm so grateful for that. And honestly, would encourage anyone who has built a community online to try to have an in-person experience, because I think we're so lacking that. And I also think, even on the flip side of things, I think some influencers or content creators or business owners cannot seem like people. And I think having that tangible experience, in-person activation, just like had me so much more connected to my following. And I think, yeah, it was just a really cool experience for my brand and I.
Yeah. Yeah. That was actually my next question, because you have built this incredible community of over a million people, not exclusively online, but mostly online. And it was, some of it was over the course of a couple of years when we weren't even doing that many in-person things anyway. And so to kind of have, I was curious just sort of what having such like a prolonged, it was a full weekend of in-person interactions with the people that really subscribe to what you put out there. What are some of like the learnings or like the things that you really kind of have kept with you since having that experience?
I think I'm just one really grateful that people waited in line for so long to be a part of something. Like, I've never felt like through any of this I feel very normal still in my life and my day-to-day life and in my relationship and with my friend group. I have like all my best friends are my hometown friends from when I was little. I have a lot of long-term friends. So having people so excited to meet me was just like kind of crazy, because I don't really see myself as like above anyone I don't feel like a public figure even. So that was a little bit crazy, like that people were so excited to see me, and I just was so grateful, because it's also kind of funny because these people really know me. I mean, I've shared my life online for 4 to 5 years. So these people really knew me, and it's so cool. They also knew like my parents.
Is there something that like, is there like a through line in what people say to you or what they tell you that like the impact that you've had on them? Because they, again, that's probably something that you probably get it in the DMs and things like that, but in person, people fall back on the things they really mean, you know?
I think that recently the thing that I've gotten that's probably made me the most like the feel good comment that I get that I love is that I've inspired people to kind of like romanticize the simpler things in life and romanticize living in the suburbs and that, you know, living in the city in your 20s isn't the only option and that it has allowed people to feel like okay with moving back to their hometown or going back home and living simpler. And like, if that can influence people to do that and to feel good with that, then that's pretty cool. And that makes me feel really good because I think in an industry that there's so much overconsumption, there's so much just, you know, romanticizing maybe the wrong things in the wrong life or a life that's just not sustainable or really achievable. Like I didn't even honestly really like my content when I was living in New York that much. And I kept going back to like not feeling proud of myself because I was like, what am I really influencing here? I'm influencing to shop and eat out and I'm spending so much money and I'm living in a really nice apartment that's still really small. I don't know. I just felt like I wasn't really influencing in any, like I was maybe offering comfort or outfit inspo, but that really wasn't enough for me to be fulfilled. And that really wasn't enough for me to be like, what impact am I making? And I took a step back. I left the city and I, you know, I have two horses now. I own a business and like my horses, my family and my like horses, family and business are the most important things to me. And now I really feel like I can be one proud of myself just with myself alone and without social media. And then the impact and like the mark I'm leaving is just the life that I want to be living. And it's a life that I think should be romanticized and like, go for a hike and go like literally get outside and spend time in nature. And that's something that no one can take away from you. No like vanity involved, no money involved, you know, it, like there's good simple things in life. Like,
yeah, totally. I live in the East Village and I know exactly what you're talking about in terms of like the life in the city. And it's interesting because, you know, I think when you live in New York City or probably any really big city, you think about, okay, whenever I like settle down or start to build a family, that's when I'll leave. That's when I'll start to build that life. And like now it's like the mentality is, okay, I want to live in the city and then have like the outdoors as like an option, but you've kind of flipped that on its head and been like, no, I'm going to be in the outdoors and in the suburbs and I'm going to have the city as an option when I want to like get that
hit. Exactly. And I think there being representation for that life, that that's a choice is kind of cool for me that being in the space that I'm in. I also think that a lot of girls do still want to live in the city, but maybe they'll take a trip to upstate New York or Jersey or Connecticut. Yeah, that's really cool. I also think that now since COVID, so much of work is online. So I always say to people, I'm like, you can work online from a lot of places now. And I do get the question a lot, like, how did it impact your social life? And you know, obviously I'm not going out anymore and I'm not seeing a lot of my friends in New York, which is a big sacrifice to me. And it would be
for anybody.
But I don't know. I just think that when you move to the suburbs or if you do move to the suburbs, if you're doing hobbies or involved in things that you really like say horseback riding, I've met a lot of people through horseback riding. I really like to garden. So I've met local people that are really into seasonal gardening and stuff like that. So you meet like-minded people by doing things and getting yourself out there, the things that you love. And I understand that it might be intimidating to leave the city and maybe leave your friends, but I don't know. I'm a small group sort of girl. So I kind of have my main group and I see my New York friends when I can, but yeah, like everyone's capable of building out a life for themselves, no matter where it is. And that's a really cool feeling. And realizing that you can do that no matter who you are is pretty cool.
Yeah, I totally agree. And it's
empowering.
Yeah. And you're talking about sort of finding these hobbies. And it's like, I grew up playing tennis. I played all through high school, played a little bit in college. And then I totally lost it in the city though. You know, it's like, it's so hard to do something like that in the city. And the past two years ago, I finally was like, okay, I need to get my shit together. I need to figure out a way to do this as I miss it. And now that it's back in my life, I'm like, it's a box that's checked that I didn't realize I wanted to check.
But I love that. That makes me really happy for you. Also pickleball now. I don't know if you play pickleball, but it's more of a city, like smaller space.
Yeah, totally. So. But it's one of those things where it's like, if I,
now you could do that every day. You know what I mean? Totally. It's like, so now I have to like, whatever. But I'm curious, you know, you talked about sort of how it impacted like your social life, but how did it, I'm assuming that sort of life in the city as a content creator and influencer is in some ways, especially at probably certain events, you feel like you're kind of like under a microscope, I bet, in some kind of environments. How did kind of taking yourself out of that in the everyday sense, how did that impact your mental health or just mentally like kind of clear anything up for you?
I think it definitely gave me a lot of clarity. And I think that people in this, in my position are always going to get criticized. I am literally making content to have people make their opinion on it.
Right.
I mean, in no world, everything that anyone does online, you're only going to get just like a like, you know, a thumbs up. That's just not realistic. And I'm a very realistic person. So although there have been harder parts of my job and what that's brought, I've always been very realistic about the fact that if you are putting things out there, you cannot expect everyone to love it. And I don't want everyone to love it, because then I wouldn't be doing anything.
Then you're not doing anything specific.
Special. Or I have a pretty strong personality, I would say. So I'm kind of a big love person. So I think that people really either like love it or they don't. And that's okay, because I would rather have like the community that I have, because my community isn't very passive. Like I said this before, like if you have a very strong community, you're also going to have the opposite of that. But it was much harder for me in New York because I wasn't actually happy. So when you get criticism and you're not happy, that's really hard. And when people are saying things that aren't necessarily true, but it hurts more because you're not actually like good with yourself.
It's more likely to impact you and just hit you right in that. Yeah.
Yeah. It hits you where it hurts a little bit. And like, you're just trying to figure your life out. You're trying to figure out your relationships and your job, and the people are just coming down on you. And it's, that was really hard for me. Obviously there were ups and downs. I'm distracting myself a lot less. So I'm not drinking as much in general. So I feel like I'm just really like good with myself now.
Ah,
I
mean, good for you. It's amazing.
Like, thank you. And I built just a life for myself that if someone doesn't like me or like what I'm doing or like what I've done, then like, that's okay. And that's okay, because I have such an amazing family, such an amazing life, and an amazing brand and community that I'm proud of myself. I'm proud of where I've gotten to, that, you know, it's not that I'm not sensitive, because I am a little bit sensitive, but it's just, it just kind of like ricochets off of me.
Yeah, totally. Does it fuel you at all? Like having, like,
yeah,
getting,
you know,
exposed
like
to that
people,
a little bit?
Yeah, like people have obviously always said stuff about my brand, like there have been trolls and stuff, but I mean, my hat's sold out in Urban Outfitters in like an hour, so it's just like at this point it's just like part of it. It's, you know, as long as I'm really successful, there are going to be trolls, and the second those trolls stop, I've lost it. So
yeah, totally. It's like you're getting their attention, and so you're doing something that's worth paying attention to, and having people having an opinion on it. Honestly, that means you're going down the right road for yourself.
100%. And that's a tough thing to kind of realize.
Yeah.
And Reese Witherspoon made a reel once, and she was like, the second that you realize that people's opinion of you is none of your business, you're free. You know, it's really none of my business. It's none of my business what people like negative things have to say about me. It's not my focus. It's not my business.
Yeah, it shouldn't be. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not. And I think that I would tell anyone, like the advice that I would give to anyone, because obviously my level of scrutiny and maybe like eyes are more, so it's a little bit more intense. But I think that it's not exclusive to influencers having people talk badly about you or people be mean to you. I think that's like a universal experience. And I would say that build something and build a life that you're so solid in and that you're so proud of, that regardless of people that come in and out of your life or people that are mean to you, you're good. You know, you're really good with yourself. And that's made the biggest difference for me.
That's really good advice. It really is. And I think it's clear that it's working for you.
Yeah. And especially as a female, I think that we often, I don't know, I know I've sometimes like poured myself too much into my relationships or been less independent. I mean, males too, but I think just finding independence and finding your own purpose is just so empowering.
Yeah, 100%.
Now I feel empowered to be the best CEO. I feel empowered to be the best partner. I feel empowered to be the best friend that I can be and the best content creator I can be because I feel empowered in my life.
Yeah,
and
totally.
Like who I am and what I'm doing. And that is something that I had to learn and I had to kind of build it for yourself. Like no one's going to do it for you for the most part,
you've built Dairy Boy, which is so impressive. And I guess first, let's, for anybody listening or watching who's unfamiliar with the brand, give me the like SparkNotes lowdown of what Dairy Boy is and also why the name.
Okay. So Dairy Boy started as kind of a joke between my followers and I. And basically, I was just kind of getting my spiel out about that I don't like milk alternatives. Like I didn't love almond milk or oat milk. So I kind of just went on and said that. And I was just like, guys, I think these are actually unhealthier for us. Like, I'm just not going to participate in it. And it was during Hot Girl Summer, that whole thing like a few years ago, which I thought was like kind of silly. And I said, it's Dairy Girl Summer. And then people loved that. And then I put it on a hat and then everyone wanted it. So that's how it started and evolved. And now it's Dairy Boy because I don't know. I loved how it makes it unisex. First of all, not many men are going to wear a Dairy Girl hat.
Sure.
And I love the word tomboy, and I would describe my style as a little bit tomboy-ish. So I kind of just loved Dairy Boy. And it started with my love for milk and with that kind of fun thing with my followers, but then it turned into just like a lifestyle brand. And to me, when I think of Dairy Boy, I think of like the lifestyle that Dairy Boy emits and what the like mission statement is, which is just to kind of like enjoy simple things in life and kind of like an outdoorsy sort of, but outdoorsy, but also like embracing like my love for milk. And I want the brand to get to a point where you think of Dairy Boy as just a word in the lifestyle. You don't necessarily think of dairy. And if you do love dairy and that's applicable to you, then that's awesome. But I really just want to remove like the meaning behind the word and have it just be the lifestyle. Have it be
the brand name. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's something that brands have to kind of evolve into. Like, I don't know, off the top of my head, I can think of poosh or goop or something like that. Like these words that don't really mean anything, but you know what they mean.
Yeah.
And that's just part of like the brand evolution and the brand's identity. And I do believe that, or I hope that in 5 years that when you think of Dairy Boy, you just think of the lifestyle and you think of denim.
I'm sure there are people that were at that pop-up who just stumbled upon it, didn't know what Dairy Boy was. And then to them, it's just a cool clothing brand that existed in this pop-up. And like, then from that's how you build that sort of different kind of awareness of the brand, I feel like.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that, I don't know, I think that it makes sense. Like when you came into the pop-up and you came into that space and you didn't know, you're like, okay, I feel like it makes sense. And yeah, that pop-up was cool because I did try to make the space really me. And I tried to make the space really kind of feel like you weren't in the city.
I think you achieved that. And you mentioned this just now, but the pop-up was sort of in tandem with launching your denim line under Dairy Boy.
Yeah.
Is that, and you said you want that to be sort of intrinsic in the brand going forward.
Yeah, I really want to be a big denim brand. I just love denim. And I think that it's such a special thing. Like everyone wears denim. My dad wears denim. My grandpa wears denim. I wear denim. I mean, everyone, and no matter where you're from, no matter like what sort of background you come from, everyone wears denim. And I think that is so cool. I ride in denim. I wear denim in the city. It's just so universal. And I'm probably most proud in my closet of my denim collection. So making denim, that was like the perfect version of what I wanted. Cause I really like only want to make products that I don't feel like exist in my own closet.
Right.
And I also feel like denim is more sustainable. Like as an influencer, I really don't want to make something that is like done in a few years.
Right. I think, or like a wear it once and then just like take the picture and then like, done.
Yeah. I'm not really interested in doing that. And also anything that's super trendy or super branded, I think that like is cool for a few years and then can drop off. And I'm really interested in building something bigger than that, building something that eventually people think of Dairy Boy and don't even think of me. I'm going to be promoting my brand, but I want it to stand on its own. The denim industry is just really cool. It's really hard. I worked on that one pair for over a year and a half.
Wow.
It's expensive. It's hard, but it's so rewarding and cool. And I think that females, especially, even though the first pair was unisex, females especially finding denim that makes them feel good can be like bring your confidence level just so through the roof. I mean, I know that for me, like having like a sick pair of denim just makes me feel so confident. So yeah, I just really wanted to do denim. I really want to be a big denim brand. We're launching like multiple new SKUs of different styles and colors. And it's just very organic to me and what I love and my lifestyle. And I think that there's room in the industry for like a new big brand.
Yeah.
I really, all of my denim is going to be very like vintage inspired. And I obviously there are some people doing the vintage inspired thing. I just think there's a avenue that I see for myself and my brand that just is kind of wide open for me to take. And I am really excited about it. And I think
it fits into like, I just think it fits into what your life out in the suburbs and like being a little more active and like maybe a little more rugged, and that vintage vibe does fit in directly into that. Yeah. And it's very cool.
Yeah. We actually didn't put rivets on the first pair of denim because you could ride in them, because like all riding denim have rivets on it. So yeah, we've made a lot of like special touches like that, which have been really, really cool.
Well, I went on vacation right after I was at your pop-up and I wore this hat at like a couple parties and people were commenting on it, asking me all about it. So it's an eye-catching name. It's intriguing. And I think you're definitely going down the right road. And I'm curious if like building something like this, I mean, you said that sort of the name was kind of an accident, like it's sort of something that happened. Definitely. But was building a brand in general, like where you could create a clothing line like this, was that always sort of a goal for you? Was it something that sort of was a ball that got bigger over time? Because I think that like the framing is sort of like from influencer to entrepreneur, but I kind of think that like being an influencer is kind of being an entrepreneur just like in general, because you're running a business really. So talk to me about sort of the idea behind it and kind of always having it be a passion of yours.
I always have had a business mind. So I always saw the community that I was building as something like I'm selling products constantly. Like my main source of income, most of my adult life has been through my personal Instagram. I post ads weekly for brands and I say I'm like a salesman. I sell clothes and products, whether it's beauty products, whether it's clothes. And I always saw it as I'm selling products to these other brands. I should be selling products from my brand. And you reach this audience and it's really powerful and it's really fascinating. Even if you see how advertising has changed since the influencers have come about, you know, people are pulling money out of magazines, they're pulling money out of TV ads. It's all going into placements online. And it's really powerful. And the numbers of it are pretty wild. I mean, I definitely always seen it as a business. And I think that you're doing yourself a massive disservice as a influencer or content creator to not start your own brand. And hopefully one day I like really want to mentor girls and guys about, you know, if you have a platform, like how to kind of start your own brand, cause I think it's hard. And I think that also there are a lot of brands that come in and try to make you sign something and start a brand with you, but they have a certain percentage, right? Like we see a lot.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. They ultimately have the control.
Right.
Yeah.
But you're seeing a lot of girls do collabs with brands, but you're not seeing as many girls just start their own brand.
Did you ever do something like that?
I didn't. I never sold my IP or like I've done collaborations, but it's very much
like a one-off kind of thing where,
it's not like they own a piece of me.
Right.
And a piece of
that's
what
scary.
Yeah, it is scary, but and you know, and sometimes that's a good thing. Like there have been some makeup brands that are been backed by big, you know, big companies and the celebrity is just the face of the makeup brand and all that. And that makes more sense. But I think that every influencer, if you are passionate about it, and if you are, I don't like the word influencer. I want to say,
content creator. Yeah.
Content creator, which is not even any better, but I think that if you're not starting a brand or have plans to start a brand or aren't brainstorming that, like you are doing yourself a disservice. Right. We all have a thing. And I think that it will make, it makes you just happier. And it makes you, I think it makes an industry that's a little bit weird and that's a little bit focused on vanity and likes and staying relevant, it allows you to transition in your life to, while in your 20s you're building something and in your 30s you're the CEO and the creative director of your company, and you can step back from sharing your whole life and you can evolve into this like businesswoman, the CEO, and then you can help other brands. Like there's just the, your options open up so much more when you're thinking about like a business. And a lot of girls and influencers have that, you know, they don't realize that they're already doing that, that they're already creative directing for other brands, and they're styling things and selling it massive quantities. I mean, these influencers are selling out goods for brands, and they can do that for themselves. So I think I was lucky enough to always kind of have that mind and think about it that way. But it's not always, I think, maybe not always encouraged, but it's not always talked about, you know, that anyone who has any sort of influence can start a brand. And whether you have 20,000 followers or 500,000 followers, I mean, you can start a brand and make an impact. And it takes a little bit of research and testing and kind of figuring it out, but you don't need a really big team to start something.
No. And I think what you're talking about, like sort of how a lot of content creators are kind of de facto like marketers for, and like idea generators, honestly, for some of these brands. Right. Like,
and I'm not stopping making content for other brands.
No, of course not. You shouldn't.
But, you know, I am very aware, and like, I fully plan on making, you know, the transition to eventually probably having a few bigger partners on my Instagram, long-term partners, and then
only so smart. Yeah, that's so smart.
My goal with this and with being a public person and with being an influencer is not about fame. Mm-hmm. It's really not. It's really about how can I utilize this platform and make a really amazing business and then make the money and throw my phone in the ocean. Like,
seriously, like that's the ultimate goal.
That's the goal. I don't want people to get it mixed up. Like, I am sharing and I'm doing the thing and I am so grateful and I want to build something and then take a step back.
Yeah, like, really, that's amazing.
It's not about being seen to me. It's about making an impact, getting my ideas out and articulating myself and building a really strong community and sharing bits of my life. And then just, yeah, evolving. And I don't really have any plans to be like, you know, like my content's going to evolve as I get older. I don't really want to be like a mom blogger. It's not really something that's like interested me. No shame at all against it to mom bloggers.
It's just not for you.
It's just not for me. I don't really see myself doing that. So I think that if you don't see yourself sharing your life so intimately for the rest of your life, building a brand, that you can, you know, transition into that.
Totally.
And then also you could transition into someone who is like a mentor and does go on podcasts and talk about what that means. I mean, I'm gonna hopefully in 10 years, like I'm a different person in a way, and I'm evolved and I'm more, you know, I've learned a lot. And then I'm in a place where I can reflect on how, you know, what worked in my business and what didn't work in my business. And then I can help people and just be more of that, you know, someone who can speak
more of like a figure, like a figurehead almost. Yeah.
And then less of like an influencer.
Yeah.
And that's what I want for myself
awesome.
For my family that I
I love that. So I want to end because the pop-up was really smartly timed going into the US Open. You had some like sort of exclusive US Open, like kind of themed merch. I have this amazing oversized t-shirt that I got at the pop-up, which is extremely comfortable. And I don't, not to be too invasive, but I'm a tennis person. So, and you're dating Tommy Paul, who's an elite tennis player, 14th seed at the US Open, did super well, got to the fourth round. I'm just curious a little bit about like what your life is like in a relationship with somebody like that, just in terms of like, you know, I think about when I'm watching a tennis match, they show the player's box all the time. There's a lot of eyes on you, especially at an event like the US Open.
Yeah.
Can you just like describe to me what that's like, just in terms of like, and in a moment when you're probably super nervous as well, like what's that like?
I forget that they pan to the box as often.
A lot. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot. Definitely. I'm really close with Tommy's team, especially Tommy's coach, Brad Stein, and really close. Like I really consider them family now. So I feel very comfortable around them and with them. So I'm very comfortable in the box. Which is really nice. It's definitely like a little bit interesting, but when I'm in the box, sometimes I look nervous or I look like serious, and I just kind of like, I don't really change anything because that would be so exhausting.
Totally. Oh my God.
Right.
It's like performing. You know,
but sometimes people do tag me in stories. And I'm like, oh my God, like I look like I look so nervous or I look so serious. But
that's so funny.
Like it doesn't change much for me. I think that if I wasn't in it as good of a place or as like confident with my with myself, I might feel a little bit more insecure and weird about that, because it is not, it's a lot of different angles, different times.
Oh my God.
But I honestly don't really think about that aspect of it very much. Also, we've been, Tommy and I and his team have been filming, Tommy really has been filming for the Netflix series.
Right. Oh my God. That's going to be amazing.
Yeah. So there have been a lot of cameras around for like 6 months. So it's just kind of, I'm used to it a little bit, right. But I don't know. It's,
That's quite the good year for them to follow him, honestly.
Yeah, it's been an amazing year. I mean, honestly, the tennis community in general has been so welcoming and warm to me, and I've just gotten so many messages from even guys, girls, a lot of older people follow tennis, so just right. I've gotten a lot of just really encouraging, kind messages from the tennis community. I really feel like they're not haters. I feel like they really respect me and my business, and they respect me as a wag in the space. I think they see that I'm a business owner and that I have contributed positively to Tommy's career and his team, and I'm really close with his team, and I wouldn't want to be a part of Tommy's life unless I was like naturally fitting in with his team, because I've been dating Tommy for a year now. I'm just coming into this. He has been playing tennis and being a top junior since he was, 13. So I'm new here. I respect him and his team a lot. I respect his sport a lot. And I really only want to be positively contributing to his career and his team. So I just really, it's about him, and it's about me, doing what I can to support him. And yeah, like regardless, win or lose, always hugging him, staying consistent. I think that these guys need consistency, and they need a constant love and support, because they're winning and losing every week. It doesn't matter who you are. You lose a lot. You lose a lot in tennis, even if you're number one in the world, number two in the world. I try to always bring like a piece of like home on the road with him, because they're on the road all year long. And our relationship just works really well, because I support him as equally as he supports me. And he never has seen anything I've done as a threat to him. I think being with passionate, successful people, whether they're public figures or not, can be sometimes intimidating, or it can be intimidating for some guys.
And some guys,
wouldn't be as supportive. And just because it maybe would take away from them, or just the intimidating factor, I think. And I just, that's the opposite with Tommy. I mean, he is just like my biggest fan, and just like absolutely loves everything I do. And
that's, it's so nice
of me. Yeah. It's so nice. And it's made such a difference in our relationship. And I think that he is so hardworking and grounded through his sport, and just through the kind of friends he's had growing up and his family, that he recognizes that in me. And I was an athlete too. I downhill ski raced my whole life, really competitively.
Oh, I didn't realize that. That's awesome.
Yeah. I went to like a ski racing academy, was like really cool. Competitively ski racing my whole life. And that was kind of my whole life. Like I didn't have,
but you get what that life is sort of like.
Yeah. I get what being hyper fixated on a sport and not really having anything else. Like he can't really do much else besides play tennis at this point in his life, and his whole world revolves around tennis. So I really get that, and I respect him. I respect him an immense amount, because I get what it takes, and I get that even me, I wasn't able to reach my goals because I couldn't just focus on one thing. I had so many other interests. So I have so much respect for him, and he respects me a lot, and that's just so huge. And
I love it.
Yeah, it's really cool. There aren't many teams on tour that I think are as close as we are, the whole team in general. It's hard. It's we're all different ages. We're all doing different things. And I'm just so grateful for that. I think that just the environment and the team aspect is so important. And I'm just so grateful for all of them. And they've, that the whole tennis community, even if it's like the fans and Tommy's group, have just positively impacted my life so much.
That's so nice to hear too, because I think from the outside looking in, it can kind of, I don't think it seems like it's overly competitive necessarily, but it's a professional sport, and so it's very, it could be very insular, but I love to hear that.
Yeah, it's really not like lonely, really, and I think that the players can get lonely,
right,
if they don't have like that sort of family aspect on the road. And I think
but you guys have that.
Be a lonely sport, but yet I'm never like lonely on the tour. Like the wives and the girlfriends and I have like a group chat on WhatsApp.
Oh my God, amazing. I love that.
Yeah, we're all like planning and very supportive and texting each other when each like player does well. And
is that like other American players or is it like just general? Honest,
well, actually the WhatsApp group I'm in is a lot of European girls.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, European girls. And then one girl who's American, but dating a British tennis player who lives in Monaco. Yeah, it's really, really cool. And I think that, I don't know, I think what the coolest thing about tennis is that everyone's winning and losing every week. So if someone wins that week, like you can, like you want to congratulate them because it's going to be you the next week.
It restarts. You know, like, yeah, totally.
Yeah, it restarts.
Yeah.
And,
yep.
100%. And like even when Tommy loses to someone, like celebrating and congratulating the winner of that match and giving them their moment and giving their team that moment, because it's going to be you, you know, the next week or the next week.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah, it's really cool. Tennis is a really amazing sport. I feel really grateful to be a part of it at all as a non-tennis player. Mm-hmm. Like learning and trying to get good at it. But so much awesome. Respect for the sport and for the history of the sport. Good. And it's so cool that you play tennis.
Yeah, it's the best. You know, it's a lifelong thing.
So cool. It's a lifelong thing. You can do it forever. You can make friends through doing it. It's a very social sport.
I love it. Yeah.
It makes me really happy for you.
Yeah. I'm from DC.
Cool. Okay.
Yeah. And I've lived here for 8 years. So
cool.
Yeah.
Francis.
East Coast guy. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I actually played tennis at College Park Academy that he
grew
up going to. Yeah.
Wait, I love really that.
Cool. Yeah. Well, Paige, I think we're out of time, but this has been so much fun. Like I just such a good conversation and I really respect everything you're doing. I'm really believe in the direction that you're going in. And I can't wait to see what comes next for Dairy Boy and for you because it's only up. Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to We Should Talk. I hope you enjoyed the interview. You can find out more about In The Know at inthenow.com. You can follow me, Gibson Johns, at Gibsonoma on Twitter and Instagram. And you can listen to all of our interviews, past and future, by searching We Should Talk wherever you get your podcasts. Hope to see you next time.